The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essa.
I'm Jonathan Thompson.
In the headline, Supreme Court cites three people for contempt and orders their appearance next Tuesday. President Mahama charges Committee of ECOWAS Chiefs of the Defense Staff to ensure gains made in sub-region are not eroded. Parliament concerned about growing menace of land guard activities in the country. Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development directs MMDAs to refrain from passing resolutions on procurement and bills payment. South Africans hold prayer vigil for Nelson Mandela, and Egypt braces for rival mass demonstrations amid tight security. First, a summary by Jonathan Thompson.
The Supreme Court hearing the 2012 election petition have ordered three people to appear before it on Tuesday to answer to some contemptuous comments they have made in connection with the ongoing case. They include the editor of the Daily Searchlight newspaper, Ken Crunchy, who is to answer for a front page comment published on last Wednesday's edition of his paper, which questions whether there is justice in Ghana. The two others are Stephen Atubiga and Kweku Bwahin, both of the NDC. President John Mahama has met with the ECOWAS Committee of Chiefs of the Defense Staff, comprising military chiefs from the sub-region. President Mahama congratulated the military chiefs for their work so far in Mali and other parts of the sub-region. He also urged his colleague heads of state to work further to tighten security within the sub-region. Members of parliament have called for stiffer punishment for land guards who go about terrorizing innocent citizens over parcels of land. The MPs lamented the activities of these persons when the MP for Shayo Sudoku, David Tete Asumeng, made a statement on the floor of the House yesterday on the destructive activities of land guards. South Africans have been holding a prayer vigil for former President Nelson Mandela outside his former home in Soweto. The crowd has been singing and saying prayers for his health on what is now his 20th night in hospital. Reports say South Africans now seem resigned to the prospect of his death. And Egypt is tracing four rival mass demonstrations amid tight security in the increasingly polarized nation. President Mohamed Morsi, in a speech making his first year in office, warned that the continuing unrest is threatening to paralyze Egypt. Meanwhile, a rally will be held in 2 days to call for the resignation of President Morsi.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. The editor of the Daily Searchlight newspaper, Ken Crunchy, and two others have been ordered to appear before the Supreme Court on Tuesday to answer to some contemptuous comments they have made in connection with the ongoing presidential election petition. Mr. Crunchy is to answer to a front page comment published on yesterday's edition of his newspaper, which questions whether there is justice in Ghana. The other two are Stephen Atubiga and Kweku Bwahin, both of the NDC. Mr. Atubiga is reported to have said last Tuesday on an Accra-based radio station that the country cannot contain all the citizens should the court rule in favor of the petitioners. Kweku Bwahin, who is the Ashanti Regional Youth Organizer of the NDC, is believed to have made similar comments on Angel FM and Boss FM, both in Kumasi.
Utterances of Stephen Atubiga and Kwaku Bwahin on Asempa FM, Boss FM, and Angel FM on 25th June 2013 and 26th June 2013 respectively. It having come to the notice of this court, as published in the Thursday, 27th day of June 2013 issue 4 number 15 of the newspaper circulating under the description The New Statesman at pages 1 and 2 respectively thereof, petition pending in this court. It is hereby ordered that the said persons do appear before this court on Tuesday, the 2nd day of July 2013, at 10 o'clock in the forenoon to answer to the said utterances for determination thereon by this court. Similarly, it is hereby ordered that Ken A. Crunchy, editor-in-chief of the newspaper circulating under the description the Daily Searchlight, do appear before this court on the same date and time as was set to answer to the contents of the front page thereof under the heading Front Page Comment, dated Thursday, June 27, 2013, for a determination of the same by this court.
Mr. Justice William Atubuga, meanwhile, Mr. Stephen Atubuga has since rendered an unqualified apology for his comments on the same platform.
The petitioners have concluded their cross-examination of the head of audit practice at KPMG, Ni Amanododu, on the firm's final report on pink sheets filed by the petitioners. Lead counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison, has sought to know from Ni Dodu why comments made by the petitioners were not incorporated into the final report. Ni Dodu replied that those comments fell outside the mandate and scope given the firm. Our correspondent Bubukli Nogo reports that the court, by a 6-3 majority, overruled attempts by the petitioners to tender their comments on the report. The court has since adjourned to Tuesday, 22nd July.
Mr. Addison first sought to know from Mr. Dodu whether the firm received comments made by the petitioners regarding the draft report. He also wanted to know what the firm did upon receiving those comments. Mr. Dodu acknowledged receipts of the comments, which he said were appropriately considered in compiling the final report. Mr. Addison also indicated that there were some 171 errors made in the entries, but Mr. Dodu disagreed with the assertion.
In the petitioner's comments, your attention was drawn to 171 errors that were inadvertently made by you in your report.
Yes, that is what your comments that you issued indicated.
Did you verify the accuracy of that statement?
Yes, we did, my lord.
And what was the result?
The results were that the information that we had captured reflected what was extracted from the pin sheets that we examined.
Now, those were entry errors. The 171 were entry errors by your staff in entering the polling station codes. And so it was for you to verify. Did you do that?
I just said that we did check to the details that were extracted, and we did indeed confirm that what had been extracted was a true reflection of the data that had been captured.
Did your verification, according to his question, confirm their query, or it went otherwise?
My lord, we went through a process. Now, what that process entailed was that extracts that were made at the end of each day were confirmed to be a true and accurate reflection of the details that reflected on each of the pin sheets. The 171 items that he mentions here, in cross-checking, 34 of those items in there, in the extract that they did present, were found indeed to be errors on their part.
Mr. Addison also sought an explanation from Mr. Dodu why all the pink sheets in the registrar's vote were not counted.
Now, did you take an inventory of all the pink sheets in the possession of the court registry prior to the counting?
No, we did not.
Were you informed as to who had filed the pink sheets that you were to count?
Yes, our understanding was that the pink sheets were filed by the petitioners.
Now, you were asked to make a faithful count of all the exhibits of pink sheets delivered by the petitioners to the registrar. Am I right?
That is so, my lord.
How many pink sheets did you count in the custody of the registrar?
The pink sheets that we counted came out to 13,926.
Can you tell the court how many unique pink sheets you counted in the registrar set, assuming there are no duplications in the pink sheets with remarks?
If you are talking about items appearing only once,
I believe that's what unique means.
You see, each pink sheet comprised a variety of information. Our tests were restricted to three items: exhibit number, polling station name, polling station code. So those were the items that we extracted. Now, there were instances where exhibit numbers appeared only once. There were instances where polling station codes appeared only once. There were situations where exhibit numbers did not tie, you know, the same exhibit number did not tie into the same polling station code number, and vice versa. So situations where you had exhibit numbers appearing only once, numbered 9,504. Situations where you had polling station codes appearing only once, numbered 5,470. So there were 2,877 instances of repeated records when we looked at experts, and 6,911 instances of repeated records when we looked at polling station codes.
Mr. Addison also suggested that based on their analysis of the report, they have concluded that the petitioners have filed 11,533 pink sheets. He also disputed Mr. Dodu's claims that KPMG does not give out soft copies of reports.
Bulletin Nagos report.
President John Dramani Mahama has called on West African leaders to work together for their common security challenges. He said the security situation in the sub-region cannot be tackled successfully on individual country bases. President Mahama made the call when the Committee of ECOWAS Chiefs of the Defense Staff conferred with him at Flagstaff House in Accra. He said the sub-region has made a lot of progress and must therefore not allow the gains made to be eroded by a few disgruntled people. Cecilia reports.
Ghana's Chief of Defense Staff, Vice Admiral Matthew Kwasi, briefed President Mahama on deliberation during the 32nd Ordinary Meeting of the ECOWAS Chiefs of Defense Staff held at the Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Training Center at Station in Accra.
The key issues that have been engaged our attention are the planned transitioning of the African-led international support mission in Mali into a UN mission, the developments in Guinea-Bissau, as well as other regional developments. Deliberations have been generally fruitful and vigorous, and some key recommendations have been reached for consideration by the appropriate organ of the ECOWAS Commission.
President Mahama stated that cross-border crimes, piracy in the Gulf of Guinea, among others, require a concerted effort to adequately tackle them.
Our common security is an interconnected issue. No one nation can ensure its own security without us working together for our collective security. And it's especially so when you have a situation of democracy and constitutional governance. Democracies are more vulnerable to insurgents, they are more vulnerable to international criminal gangs because of the respect for human rights and all that. They are more vulnerable to people who just have a criminal mind who want to take advantage of constitutional governance. And so we don't have any alternative but to work together to ensure that collectively our countries are secure.
President Mahama appealed to the factions in Mali and Guinea-Bissau to reconcile their differences and work towards achieving lasting peace and development. He commended the Committee of the Chiefs of Defense Staff for their good work done in the two nations.
I must commend you for the work that has taken place in Mali. We faced a very grave situation several months of what was happening in Mali. But I must say that with the collaboration that we have enjoyed, the situation in Mali is more stable than it was a few months back. We're also happy with the progress that we're making in Guinea-Bissau, and we hope that all the stakeholders in Guinea-Bissau too would cooperate so that we can bring permanent normalcy to that country.
The chairman of the Committee of ECOWAS CDS, Lieutenant General Soumaila Bakayoko of Cote d'Ivoire, said the meeting assessed the issue of piracy in the Gulf of Guinea and will soon forward their recommendations to the ECOWAS authority. Setia reporting for Radio Ghana.
Parliament has bemoaned the activities of land guards in the country and advocated stiffer punishment to persons who go about terrorizing innocent citizens over parcels of land. The MPs were unhappy about the operations of the land guards, which they noted are becoming great threats to the nation. The MP for Shayo Sudoku, David Tete Asumeng, made a statement on the floor of the House yesterday on the destructive activities of land guards. Here are the details by correspondents Dominic Ngoji and Augustus Akwe from Parliament.
It is disheartening for most people who attempt to purchase a piece of land to build a house in some parts of the country, especially in the urban areas. Apart from being faced with multiple people who claim ownership of the land, one has to deal with macho men referred to as land guards who wield guns, cutlasses and clubs in their bid to protect land. The issue has become one of great concern, and the MPs in their deliberation over the minutes called for the empowerment of law enforcement agencies fashioning of enforceable legislation to deter the miscreants and the need for the state to take a second look at the land tenure system in the country. The MP for Shai Osudoku, David Tete, assuming so the nation needs a decisive approach in dealing with the issue.
Land guards are a group of able-bodied young men and sometimes women engaged to protect landed properties. They are either trained or untrained to carry all manner of weapons, including guns, cutlasses, clubs, and other offensive weapons during the operation. That's our speaker. The issue is becoming a threat to the nation, and the earlier it is missed in the bad, the better. In the Greater Accra region, the operations of land guards have reached an alarming proportion. The Shai Osudoku district was in the news recently as communities like Abonya, Ajumajang, among others, were attacked by land guards who were recruited to provide security for lands in the area, resulting in injuries, deaths, and destruction of property. Mr. Speaker, in such situations, women and children suffer the most. Punitive sanctions must be taken to curb the actions of land guards before it degenerate into an uncontrollable state like the activities of Fulani herdsmen in the country.
The member for Takwan Swayim Gifti Eugenia Kusi attributed the current state of affairs to the problem with land ownership. He entreated the Lands Commission, the Chieftaincy Ministry and other stakeholders to work together to address the challenges posed by land guards.
I think the Ministry of Chieftaincy and Culture, Lands, Forestry and Mines should set up joint committees. If they work together, collaborate, go to the archives, find the history of all these lands that we have disputes over, so that in the end we will resolve this issue and the issue of land guards can be abolished, so that Ghanaians, especially those of us in Greater Accra, when you buy land, your hard-earned money, you go and buy land, and then later you bring in those the house. Some houses are pulled down because the court has ruled that the land that was sold to you, you did not buy it from the right person. It's very, very painful because money is hard to come by now, and then you sweat to build your house, and then people pull it down because of land problems and fighting amongst family members. Jessica, it is a serious issue, and as a parliament, we should sit down and do something about it.
The Botiano English Yamanfu MP, Bright Demoji, was not happy with the cumbersome nature and long period of land documentation and calls for steps to streamline documentation of land in the country.
Issues regards to land acquisition documentation are the major causes of some of these land guard issues, and it is important that state institutions like land commission, land valuation board, and all the institutions involved in ensuring that the procedures that are involved in land acquisition are streamlined, such that the period for documentation of individual lands can be quickly be streamlined, such that within a short period of time people can have documents on their properties. I think that is the of the matter. The issue is that people acquire land, the period in which they need to document this land is so long that sometimes it results to duplications. They used to resell this land to other people, even boundary disputes. Land guards take advantage of boundary disputes to cause mayhem in a lot of communities. It is my humble appeal to the authorities concerned to ensure that the numerous boundary disputes that we have in this country can be resolved.
The Botiano Nglesia Manfo MP, Bright Demoji, ending their report by Dominic Nloji and Augusto Zakwe from Parliament. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra, the major stories. Supreme Court cites three people for contempt and orders their appearance next Tuesday. President Mahama charges Committee of ECOWAS Chiefs of the Defense Staff to ensure gains made in sub-region are not eroded. Parliament concerned about growing menace of land guard activities in the country. Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development directs MMDAs to refrain from passing resolutions on procurement and bills payments. South Africans hold prayer vigil for Nelson Mandela, and Egypt braces for rival mass demonstrations amid tight security.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. Students in Ghana who apply for visa to study in the UK can heave a sigh of relief as they will not be affected by the proposed financial bond directive by the British government. The registrar of the Ghana Scholarship Secretariat, Fuseni Lansa, tells Radio Ghana that government has bilateral agreements with host countries who offer scholarships and exchange programs to students from Ghana. Currently, Ghana does not have such relations with the UK. He noted that the proposed directive will not affect students, but relatives who would like to attend graduation ceremonies of the awards after their courses.
I don't think it's a problem, except that sometimes relations want to attend graduation ceremonies and others. That might bar them from going. That's the social problem that we anticipate. But for the students themselves, we do not envisage any problem. Fortunately, if what we are hearing from the High Commission is correct, I don't think it's going to be applied wholesale. It's even possible that relations who are going there specifically to visit their students or to attend their admission ceremonies, to give them some exemption. So we are not so much alarmed about it. But one can never take things for granted. The scholarships we offer for students abroad are based on bilateral cooperation agreements between government of Ghana and countries offering the scholarships. Under the arrangements, visa processing and other travel arrangements are done in cooperation between scholarship recipients and the relevant foreign embassy. So we don't normally have problems with documentation and travel arrangements once both parties are committed to the agreement that is proposed.
So are you saying that this directive will not affect students who apply for scholarships?
That one is only with respect to the United Kingdom. We don't have bilateral cooperation agreements with them. The citizens were given, but they are all completed and come back. It's now left with a few who have been by guest funds. That's the same principle that guest funds acts as an agency of government. So once a student is introduced to the embassy, we expect that under existing international cooperation agreement, they should not be included in this. They are not ordinary visitors. They go there as students.
What is the process of applying for a scholarship?
You have to apply in response to an advert. We normally advertise the office. We apply. It's a selection interview conducted, and then shortlisting done. The advert indicates the eligibility criteria based upon which we are invited for internship. The selection is done. After the selection, the list is submitted to the relevant documentation, which must necessarily be legalized by Ministry of Foreign Affairs, by the High Court, and by Police Criminal Investigation Department to give the necessary criminal clearance. Then after that, the processing is done at the level of the offering country. We would have finished our portion of it.
Mr. Lansan appealed to government to resource the secretariat to enable it to work effectively. He added that if government collaborates with the private sector effectively, students can be trained locally without being sent elsewhere.
The Director General of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, Major Albert Donchebe, has charged the staff of the corporation to be active advocates of the review of the TV license fee to address the daunting challenge facing the corporation. He emphasized that the upward adjustment of the TV license fee from the current 30 pesos a year to an appreciable amount is the only panacea for the revenue problem confronting the corporation. Major Don TV threw the challenge at a Deba with the staff of GBC Sunrise FM in Concordia yesterday.
The Director General, Major Albert Donchebe, withdrawing the corporation's regional offices to familiarize himself with operations in the region, pointed out that there is the need for staff, especially presenters, to sensitize the public to the need to pay higher TV license fees. This, he believes, will enable GBC to effectively discharge its mandate of a true public broadcaster. The Director General, who was not impressed with the performance of Sunrise FM regarding revenue generation, tells the staff to work hard to improve the situation. Major Donchebe announced that efforts are being made to revive the defunct Radio 1 and 2, which will solely provide public service, while the regional FM stations will offer commercial services. He said that between 2010 and 2012, the corporation recruited 700 people, some of whom are still being paid from the corporation's internally generated funds. On the stoppage of payments of commission to staff who bring business to the corporation, the Director General stated that he will review the directive. This, he said, will motivate staff to go out and chase business for the corporation to improve its revenue generation. He stated that his mission for GBC is to develop a strategic business unit whereby revenue generated in the regions will be utilized to develop the regional stations. The Eastern Regional Director of GBC, Yaopokuwa Japon, thanked the Director General for his visit and assured him that he and his staff will work hard to improve upon their performance.
A news desk report.
Municipal and district assemblies have been directed to refrain from passing resolutions on procurement of goods and services and bills for the district assembly common fund to effect payment. The Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development, which gave the directive, also instructed that not more than 20% of the fund be used for recurrent expenditure. The move, according to the ministry, is to ensure that much of the fund is available for infrastructural development. Upper West Regional Minister Dr. Ephraim Avianso stated this during the 2013 maiden meeting of the Regional Coordinating Council in Wa. Correspondent Sal Abdul Wahab reports.
This is the first meeting of the council this year, and for Dr. Avianso as the regional minister since assuming office in the past 3 months. The minister's five-page address touched on pertinent issues such as security, revenue mobilization, readiness to work, illegal mining, shadow work, development plan for the region, and encroachment on government lands, among others. He said municipal and district assemblies constitute the driving force behind the decentralization system. The minister expressed unhappiness about the unsatisfactory performance of some assemblies in revenue mobilization and asked them to be innovative in that direction.
Mobilization of internal generated funds at the district level remains additionally low, despite the fact that there are several avenues that can be explored to raise the necessary revenue to help in our developmental agenda. I have therefore directed municipal and district chief executives, coordination directors, and other stakeholders to be more innovative and to step up revenue collections and stop the over-reliance on the district assembly common funds.
The regional minister also raised concerns about the alarming rate of illegal mining activities in the region.
Swala Abdul Wahab reporting.
The Director of Institute of Environment and Sanitation Studies at the University of Ghana, Legon, Professor Chris Gordon, has called on government and other key actors in climate change interventions to explore proactive initiatives required for the country's development transformation, as recommended by the 2013 Human Development Report. He contended that the previous approaches of mitigating the impact of climate change, particularly on women and other vulnerable groups in society, are not achieving the desired results of economic empowerment and environmental conservation. Professor Gordon, who was speaking in Accra at the opening of a workshop on gender dimension of climate change, attributed this to attitudinal challenges and disregard for laws and norms. We'll bring you the details.
It has been progressively recognized that gender inequalities worsen women's coping capacity relating to climate change impacts. Consequently, there is a need to adopt a gender-responsive approach towards climate change policy making and programming. The workshop, organized by Religious Bodies Network on Climate Change, RealBonet, in partnership with Abantu for Development, brought together more than 70 participants representing the coalition of civil society organizations on climate change. The coalition comprised local and international NGOs as well as government agencies. Describing climate change as a developmental challenge for Ghana, Professor Gordon urged government to institute proactive mechanisms as a developmental state, tapping into global markets, and determined to implement social policy innovations. He commended RealBonet for its initiative in advocacy and capacity building to promote indigenous knowledge on climate change issues. The program manager for Abantu for Development, Elenio Sinja, called for the promotion of gender equality as a cost-cutting issue in developmental programs, noting that women's equal participation in decision-making must be ensured at all times. She stressed the need to prioritize local productive initiatives and deepen diplomatic principles of promoting women's rights. Dr. Elaine Lawson of the University of Ghana Institute for Environment and Sanitation Studies urged relevant climate change actors to ensure the integration of gender equality principles in social policies in the areas of education, health, and other social interventions. The country manager for the International Union for Conservation of Nature, Sadia Bobtia, noted that forest conservation and management initiatives such as the Red Plus Project must ensure gender equality and advancement of women's rights and livelihood.
A news desk report. We'll be back with more.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. On the foreign front, South Africans have been holding a prayer vigil for former President Nelson Mandela outside his former home in Soweto. The crowd has been singing and saying prayers for his health on what is now his 20th night in hospital. Emotional crowds gathered outside the hospital, adding messages of support for Mr. Mandela, also known as Madiba.
President John Mahama has joined the generality of South Africans and the family of former South African President Nelson Mandela in praying for the Madiba. Speaking at the daily press briefing at Flagstaff House yesterday, Information Minister Mahama Yariga said the president, like others across the world, is monitoring very closely the health situation of the former South African leader.
The Senegalese President Macky Sall has reacted sharply to President Obama's call for Africa to follow U.S. example in taking action on gay rights. President Sall said that though Senegal is a very tolerant country which does not discriminate in terms of the rights of people, it is not ready to decriminalize homosexuality, and that will not hold in his country.
And Egypt is bracing for rival mass demonstrations amid tight security in an increasingly polarized nation. President Mohamed Morsi's supporters are to hold rallies 2 days ahead of the opposition protest calling for the president to resign.
So in the news, the main points again. The Supreme Court has ordered 3 people to appear before it on Tuesday to answer to some contemptuous comments they have made in connection with the ongoing election petition hearing. They include editor of the Daily Searchlight newspaper, Ken Crunchy, who is to answer to a front-page comment published on yesterday's edition of his newspaper, which questions whether there is justice in Ghana. And President Mahama has called on the Committee of ECOWAS Chiefs of the Defense Staff to ensure that the gains made in the sub-region are not eroded. The news was presented by Samuel Essa
and Jonathan Thompson in Accra.